And kicking off the weekend Saturday, mild with a thick cloud cover with a high temperature of 59 degrees, a low temperature of 47 degrees. Adam left.
Love the cool things we can do, we can do, we can do. We love the cool things we can do on our computer.
When you need to talk technology, no one gets you more gigs in your hard drive than Adam. It's time for Adam the Computer Guy with Adam Lepp.
Why, yes, tis I, the man with gigs in the hard drive. Disks that are not floppy, they are firm from all the brain cells that we're going to expend during the next 50 minutes or so as we get geeky and talk tech on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting online 24/7. By the magic and power of the internet at WWGH1071.com. If you're a new listener to the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, I'd like to welcome you aboard and thank you very much for lending an ear. I can assure you we will not disappoint. We get geeky, we save you money, we save you time. And of course, any show with yours truly, there will certainly be a wisecrack or two. This show is interactive. For one thing, we are broadcasting a live Facebook video via my Facebook page, Adam the Computer Guy. And I also am going to go ahead and share that video with WWGH on our personal Facebook page for the radio station. So even if you're not already a virtual friend of yours truly, you can go ahead and go to WWGH in Marion, our Facebook page, and watch the video that way. I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. And not only that, can you watch me on video, but you can call the station and talk technology topics of your choice, or, of course, you can maybe provide your opinion on something that I've discussed previously on a show, maybe the show last Tuesday or a show from last month or last year, what have you. If you don't agree with something that I say, that's fine. Let me know. We are an open forum. Your opinions, whether or not I agree with them, are very much welcome with a capital W. Or bring up a new topic. Maybe suggest a guest or topic for a future show. The number here at the station is WWGH. Yeah, that's the station. Our phone number is 740-383-WWGH. That's 740-383-9944. I want to thank Matthew and Harry. Harry, of course, being a frequent caller to the show. He called last Thursday. Maybe he'll call again today. We'll find out. He's watching. And Matthew B., long-time virtual and in-person friend of yours truly. He is also watching the video. Thank you, gentlemen, for watching. Rumor has it that Matthew B. recently became a father. Matthew, congratulations on your new fatherhood. Be sure to tell your offspring early that learning about technology is fun. And, of course, in the case of Adam the Computer Guy, it also can be entertaining. And, again, thank you for being a part of our growing audience. Here at WWGH, we offer live content pretty much every day, and we also provide archives of previous shows. So if you miss, for example, the interview that our program manager and midday show host Scott Spears did with Bob Barker. Yes, he's had Bob Barker on twice this month. Bob Barker was on earlier this week, and if you missed the interview, that's okay. We will forgive you. You can go to our website at WWGH1071.com and go to the show archives or go right to the Now with Scott Spears section. and look at our celebrity interviews. As you can see, he does quite a bit. And you can listen to the interview with Bob Barker from your mobile device, desktop or laptop computer or tablet. How about that? So if you miss an interview or miss a feature, that's okay. You can always go to our website at WWGH1071.com and listen on demand. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH. I invite you to listen, and I invite you to call, because we're an interactive show. Maybe your printer is only printing gibberish. Maybe your monitor is not monitoring anything other than your headaches. And maybe your server is serving you a hard time. Your hard drive is giving you a hard time. You'd like to drive it off the nearest cliff. Well, that's okay. Give me a call. I will help solve your IT problems. 740-383-9944. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features to talk tech on Marianne's Talking Place, WWGH. I want to talk about a important and not, I would say it's a negative story, but important nonetheless, a scam that is targeting users of Gmail, that is Google's email service. It's used by a lot of people, and so this affects a lot of people. You may have heard of phishing, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, and this is where an email says it comes from the IRS, your boss, your email provider, your internet provider, your bank, but actually it's from a scammer attempting to get your credit card number or social security number and commit possibly identity theft. So obviously phishing is not a good thing, and it's a serious and increasing problem. IT security in general is the most important thing that we do as IT information and computer professionals. Not the most pleasant, as I say, and not the most well-paying, but surely the most important. According to an article in Time magazine, security researchers have identified a highly effective phishing scam that's been fooling Gmail customers, again, Gmail being part of Google, into divulging their login credentials. The scheme, which has been gaining popularity in the past few months and has reportedly been hitting other email services, involves a clever trick that can be difficult to detect. Researchers at WordFence, a team that makes a popular security tool for the blog site WordPress, warned of the attack in a recent blog post, noting that it has been, quote, having a wide impact, even on experienced technical users. So even your tech professionals, people like myself, I've been around tech for 40 years, since the mid-70s in junior high school, even we could be attempted targets. And again, the word being attempted. If it smells like a rat, oftentimes it is. Anyway, here is how this Gmail phishing swindle works. Again, according to an article recently published in Time magazine. The attacker, usually disguised as a trusted contact, that is someone that you email back and forth often, sends a booby-trapped email to a prospective victim. Attached to the email, there appears to be a regular attachment, for example, a PDF. Nothing that would be out of the ordinary. I'd like to welcome my friend in Cleveland, home of the world champion basketball team, the Cavaliers, Freddie K., for watching. Thank you very much for lending an ear and an eye, Freddie. Always appreciated. Anyway, the attachment is usually an embedded image that has been crafted to look like a PDF. Again, PDF often used as an attachment for maybe an invoice or maybe a letter or something where the formatting looks better than typical text formatting of a lot of emails. Anyway, rather than reveal a preview of the document when clicked, the embedded image links out to a fake Google login page, and that's where it gets devious. So the page that you're directed to is not really a Google login. It looks like it, but it's fake. And they want to steal your login credentials. And, of course, that could be very disastrous. Everything about the sign-in page looks authentic. The Google logo, the username and password, entry fields, the tagline. Again, one account, all of Google. By all indications, the page is a facsimile of the real thing, except for one clue. What's in the address bar? And that's where you have to look at it. Because the address bar isn't what it would normally be if it was a legitimate Google login page. But that's even easy to miss in this case. Now check this out. The text includes the http://accounts.google.com, and then there's something called data:text/html, and that data, Universal Research Indicator, known as an URI, embeds a file, whereas a URL, which is a normal .com or .net, identifies a page's location on the web. And that's where it gets suspicious. It looks a lot like this Google login, but there's a prefix which indicates that you are getting a file that's not part of the actual URL. Again, very sneaky. Even someone like myself might get fooled. So I implore you, whenever you go to a link that's on an email, be sure that it's what it says it is. And if you're not 110% sure that it is, don't go there. If you ever have a question about whether something is legitimate, be it an email that looks a little shaky or something else that isn't quite right, we always encourage you to contact your friendly neighborhood computer tech person. My information is on my website, because that's one of the things that I do pretty much every day, AdamTheComputerGuy.com. So anyway, if you unfortunately find yourself fooled into this fake Google login page, as soon as you enter your username and password into these fields, the attackers capture the information. To make matters worse, once the attackers gain access to your inbox, because you provided your login and password through this fake login page, these attackers immediately change the login information on your what's called compromised account or stolen or hacked account. They find past emails and attachments, create booby-trapped image versions, make up believable but fake storylines, and then target your contacts. So it's a domino effect. Google Chrome users can protect themselves by checking the address bar and making sure that a green lock symbol appears before entering personal information into a site. And so if you use Google Chrome, as I do, and a lot of people use Chrome for their web browser, be sure the site is legitimate. That green lock symbol is one way to check. It isn't always the way available, but it's pretty good. And you can go ahead and look at the certificate and make sure that everything clicks as it should before you even think about putting in a login and password or a social security number or credit card number. Do check it. And again, if you're not sure, don't go there. Anyway, scammers have been known to create these HTTPS protected phishing sites. So these phishing sites themselves can even have a security certificate, which also displays a green lock. So be sure that in addition to this green lock, the intended .com or .net is what you're seeing. So if it doesn't look like it really is from Google, if you're not 110% sure, if there's something in that address bar which doesn't look right, there's a very good chance that it isn't. And if you're not sure, get a second opinion. Don't be afraid to call a computer tech. We get these questions all the time. In addition, people should add two-step authentication. Again, this is according to a recent article in Time magazine about this problem. An added layer of security, this two-step authentication, which can help prevent account takeovers. A Google spokesperson acknowledged this scam. Again, it's a phishing scam. a fake email that's not really from Google that attempts to get your login and password so that these scammers can attack your accounts. A Google spokesperson made this statement to Fortune magazine. The spokesperson said, "We're aware of this issue and continue to strengthen our defenses against it. We help protect users from phishing attacks in a variety of ways, including machine learning-based detection of phishing messages, safe browsing warnings that notify users of dangerous links in emails and browsers, preventing suspicious account sign-ins, and more. Users can activate two-step verification for additional account protection." So I can't really stress it enough. Be sure that what you're clicking on in an email is what you think it is. And if not, don't click. Better safe than sorry, because this phishing, this impersonation is becoming a more serious problem. Adam Lepp here, your friendly neighborhood IT person with my twice weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Anyway, I talked about Harry, a frequent caller and listener to the show. Maybe he'll call in today. We'll find out, won't we? Anyway, he is pretty much coordinating our Twitter page. If you go to at WWGH Radio, please follow us. He is tweeting regularly about past, present, and future shows, news stories, and other items of interest. For example, a sad story a few days ago, Colo the gorilla passed away at the Columbus Zoo. We reported on that. We tweeted it. Unfortunate event. Colo certainly an icon at the zoo. But we are, as a media organization, interested in providing news to you in a fast, efficient, and professional manner. Also, he will provide previews of content on my show and others. If you are following us on Twitter, and hopefully you are, Harry talked about rights for robots. So we have human rights. We're all in favor of that. But should a robot have rights also? We promise to talk about that, and I shall deliver. This is from an article in The Guardian. The European Union, their legal affairs committee, is walking blindfold into a swamp if it thinks that electronic personhood will protect society from developments in artificial intelligence. And I would like to thank Chris from the far northeastern part of Franklin County for watching my video and for listening. Chris, be sure to call the show if you'd like to talk technology. He is a client business associate of mine, owns a window cleaning and power washing company, and does a very good job, if I should say so myself. Feel free to call Chris. I'd love to talk to you. Also, Freddie up there in Cleveland, thank you for watching. Always appreciated. Anyway, we're discussing whether or not robots have rights. That might sound kind of silly, but in Europe, it is seriously being considered and debated. Now, the analogy with corporate personhood is unfortunate, as this has not protected society in general, but allowed owners of companies to further their own interests. For example, the Citizens United Movement here in the United States, where corporate personhood has been used as a tool for companies to interfere in the electoral process on the basis that a corporation has the same right to free speech as a biological human being. Not sure about that one. Anyway, electronic personhood will protect the interests of a few at the expense of the many. As soon as rules of robotic personhood are published, the creators of artificial intelligence devices will, quote, adjust their machines to take the fullest advantage of this opportunity. Not because these people are evil, but because that is part of the logic of any commercial activity. Just as corporate personhood has been used in ways that its original proponents never expected, so the granting of so-called rights to robots will have consequences that we cannot fully predict. To take just two admittedly futuristic examples, how could we refuse a sophisticated robot the right to participate in societal decision-making, for example, to vote? And on what basis could we deny an intelligent machine the right to sit on a jury? And that comes from an article by a French reporter, Paul Grisseri, in The Guardian. Personally, I don't think that a robot should have rights that a human being does. But I'd like to debate that. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com. Or, of course, you can call me. I'm right here live in the studio at the Marion Center Mall. 740-383-9944. So, there's a big event happening about 400 miles east of us tomorrow. We are going to be changing presidents. President Obama will give way to President Donald Trump. And as I am not shy to say, there's a big difference in the temperament between Mr. Obama and Mr. Trump. From this show's perspective, we are very interested in how the relationship with technology, tech companies, the big ones, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, how their relationship will be different with the Donald versus the Barack. Here's an article in CNET.com, a website that I use often for material, opinions about items like this. What they have to say regarding the differences in temperament and expected relationships with technology between Mr. Obama and Mr. Trump. The 8-year bromance between Barack Obama, who appointed the first chief technology officer for the U.S. and Silicon Valley, will be ending. Now what? That's the question that the technology industry has been asking since a real estate mogul turned reality star, that is, the Donald, with a spotty reputation with technology, was voted as the 45th president of the United States of America. Now, as you may know, President Obama is a pretty high-tech guy. He's a self-proclaimed geek and Trekkie. He was the most tech-focused president in modern history, committing billions of dollars to support initiatives to spur innovation, improve education, and encourage exploration and discovery. As we approach Donald Trump's inauguration, that's a kind of a hard word to say, inauguration, it is still unclear where Donald Trump stands on most technology-related issues. He said very little during the campaign about the tech industry, though he did call for a boycott of Apple products over the company's stance on privacy in its fight with the FBI. Initially, it looked as though Silicon Valley was not excited about the next 4 years. Last July, 150 technology leaders, including Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales, and Vint Cerf, considered to be the father of the Internet, wrote an open letter calling a Trump presidency, quote, a disaster for innovation. Some in the industry, notably broadband service providers, criticized him for policies they believe would stifle investment in infrastructure. However, this chilly relationship has warmed a bit since the election. Last month, Donald Trump met with more than a dozen executives from the biggest tech companies in the United States. A roundtable with potential for awkwardness, given Donald Trump's repeated attacks on technology and the philosophical disagreements that he has with some of the executives. But instead, the president-elect pledged to do, quote, anything we can do to help continue the industry's success. Several prominent executives, such as Tesla's CEO Elon Musk and Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, have even joined on as advisors. Telecommunications companies, in particular, could see big benefits during Donald Trump's presidency. Again, according to an article in CNET.com, a great tech news source that I use often for this show because they've got some good stuff and some smart opinions. Anyway, Donald Trump's transition team is full of critics of the Federal Communication Commission's net neutrality rules, which imposed old-style telephone regulation on the Internet. There are indications that a Trump administration may be much friendlier to big mergers and acquisitions than President Obama's team. Donald Trump, again, he's 70 years old, but with his tweeting just the way he carries himself, he certainly seems younger. He's a young 70. Anyway, he didn't say all that much about technology during the campaign. He did call out, as you might recall, quote, the cyber, when talking about cybersecurity concerns during one debate. Industry watchers are left reading whatever tea leaves they can until the president-elect reveals more definitive policies. Now, the tech industry, not surprisingly, accounts for about 12% of all jobs. That's about 1 in 8 jobs are in the tech industry. And in 2017, that's not surprising. Actually, I thought it'd be a little bit higher. Anyway, that's according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And given Donald Trump's message about improving America's economy and competitiveness, his technology policies will have a long-lasting impact. Evan Schwartztrauber, communications director of the think tank in Washington, D.C. called Tech Freedom, said, "The onus is on him to convince us that what we have seen in the past, the erratic behavior that has been defining character of the campaign, is not what will lead policy, and we'll see a more pragmatic approach." So, according to CNET, here's what we do know, not very much, about Donald Trump's stance on important tech issues. Thought I'd cover this in detail with the Donald becoming the president in approximately 26 hours and 22 minutes. Net neutrality became a relatively big deal in the 2008 election, but little was said during this election cycle about the policy. Now, you might say, well, what is net neutrality? Why is it so important? It's important to me as a small business owner, because the idea that all traffic on the Internet should be treated equally means your broadband provider, which controls your access to the Internet, that is Frontier, Time Warner, WOW, AT&T, Cincinnati Bell, etc., they cannot block or slow down the services or applications that you use over the web. That is my website, Walmart's website, a nonprofit website, the radio station's website, all get equal bandwidth. What do you think about that? Now, Donald Trump is not a fan of the FCC's current regulations. In 2014, at the height of the debate to rewrite the rules around net neutrality, he tweeted, "Obama's attack on the Internet is another top-down power grab. Net neutrality is the fairness doctrine. We'll target conservative media." Now that Tom Wheeler, FCC chairman appointed by Obama, has stepped down, and since Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel, another Democrat, was not reconfirmed by the Senate at the end of last year, the FCC will have a 2-to-1 Republican majority while it waits for Donald Trump to nominate a new chairperson. It's likely that an FCC led by Republicans will eliminate all or part of the rules and strip the FCC of some of its authority. If that happens, broadband providers could create so-called fast lanes and charge internet companies, like Netflix, different rates to deliver their services. Loosening regulations around telecommunications will likely benefit broadband and wireless carriers. The Internet and Television Association and other organizations lobby for the cable industry, and it's eager to work with Donald Trump. "We look forward to participating in a constructive and robust discussion about policies that will continue to make America a global technology and entertainment leader. That's a statement made by the Internet and Television Association a few weeks ago. Let me know what you think about net neutrality. I'm in favor of it, without question. I don't care how much money Netflix has or if they pay what I believe to be a bribe to an internet provider. They, my website, the radio station's website, your website as a business owner, or even as a person, even sharing family pictures, should all have equal bandwidth on the internet. I feel very strongly about that. Let me know what you think. Do you agree with me? Do you not agree with me? That's fine. Adam at WWGH1071.com, or again, give me a call right now. I'm live in the studio, 740-383-9944. Continuing the story about Donald Trump and his expected relationship with the tech industry, according to an article again in CNET that's currently out, Donald Trump also seems to have taken a populist view against mergers and acquisitions. That could be troublesome for big pending mergers, including a very big one, AT&T's $85 billion takeover of entertainment giant Time Warner. When that was announced 3 months ago, Donald Trump vowed to block the merger if he was elected. He said, as an example of the power structure that I'm fighting, AT&T is buying Time Warner and thus CNN, a deal we will not approve in my administration because it's too much concentration of power in the hands of too few. Now, AT&T's executives still like their chances of getting the deal approved by the United States, pointing to statements that Donald Trump made in his victory speech about investing in, quote, infrastructure. Randall Stephenson is AT&T's CEO. He met with Trump earlier this month. He said he did not discuss the merger with Donald Trump, but he told lawmakers during a Senate hearing in December that he's confident, based on the facts of the case, that the government will approve the deal. Donald Trump has made only vague statements about privacy and security, and he has downplayed Russia's alleged hacking into the Democratic National Committee and Clinton's campaign email servers, something we hear about in the news pretty much every day. So when the Justice Department tussled with Apple over unlocking the iPhone of the terrorist suspect in the San Bernardino shooting, he called for a boycott of Apple products. What he has said about cybersecurity is that there should be a review of U.S. cyber defenses by a, quote, cyber review team. He also told the New York Times in July that, quote, certainly cyber has to be in our thought process, very strongly in our thought process. Inconceivable that the power of cyber, you can make countries non-functioning with a strong use of cyber. And again, that's a recent quote by Mr. Donald Trump. Let's take a look at education, something else that yours truly is a fan of, science, technology, electronics, and math, known as STEM. I think we need more of that. There's not enough. And I'm not one to shy away from saying that people need to learn technology. That's people of all ages, as well as science. Of course, I was a chemistry major, so it's a bit of a biased opinion, but I'm entitled to my opinion. Anyway, experts who have looked at Donald Trump's economic agenda suggest that deficits will explode, which could lead Congress to trim the budget. That could mean heavy cuts to funding for science programs and education, which runs counter to the technology industry's call for more tech-savvy workers in today's digital age. Again, we quoted earlier that about 1 in 8 jobs are tech-related. Of course, technology is involved in pretty much every job, but 1 in 8 jobs are strictly considered to be tech jobs, be it a programmer, IT security expert, etc. Now, Donald Trump has publicly supported views that are not backed by the scientific community. he has repeated unfounded connections between vaccinations and autism. His meeting a few weeks ago with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an environmental lawyer who has long been known as supporting the anti-vaccination cause, has also raised eyebrows, as it is said that Robert Kennedy Jr. may head up a task force to look into the safety of vaccinations. Trump has also dismissed reports of climate change as a myth perpetuated by the Chinese to undermine the economy. He has tried to appeal to voters in coal country by supporting energy policies that encourage the use of more fossil fuels and downplayed investment in renewable energy like solar. So what do you think about that? Again, as a person with an MS degree in chemistry, that is myself, I have a serious problem with that. We need more science education. Again, a biased opinion because of my lifelong interest in science, my education in the field, but it doesn't matter. To me, it's common sense. And I can't say that that would be one of my favorite parts of a Donald presidency. But what do you think? Give me a call. Love to hear your opinion. If you disagree, that's fine. We can debate it right on the air. Not a problem whatsoever. This is an open forum. Your opinions are valuable. 740-383-9944. Let's talk about immigration. Of course, that's a big topic with the Donald. It has been one of the hallmark issues of his campaign. But most of his policies center on what he'd do to reduce illegal immigration. When it comes to legal immigration of skilled workers, Donald Trump said he wants to increase pay for people holding H-1B visas as part of a plan to steer more work to Americans. And that's because some consider H-1B visa holders to be a cheaper source of highly skilled labor for U.S. companies. His policy says, quote, raising the prevailing wage paid to H-1B visa holders will force companies to give coveted entry-level jobs to the existing domestic pool of unemployed native and immigrant workers in the United States instead of flying in cheaper workers from overseas. The biggest boost to the tech industry could come from Donald Trump's plans to lower corporate tax rates to encourage companies to invest their money in the United States. Now, there is thought to be a good chance that money could be invested in the United States. That comes from Rob Atkinson. He is president of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. But it is not definite. 13 years ago, the United States allowed American companies to bring in the profit that they had earned overseas in the hope that they would hire more workers. However, most of the money went instead to executives and shareholders. Trump has also called for import taxes on products, which could drive up prices for consumers on tech products. Goods. And that wouldn't be too good. Donald Trump said in a stump speech recently, we're going to let Apple build their own computers and things in this country instead of in other countries. Now, Apple declined to comment on Donald Trump's statement at the time. They design their products at their Silicon Valley headquarters in California, but they use a Chinese contractor to build them. If Apple's products were manufactured in the United States, check this out, the price of an iPhone could rise to as much as $900 to offset worker wages, and that's versus the $650 cost of an iPhone today. So what do you think about that? Again, some of this stuff, I think, is good, but some of it is, out of lack of a better term, ridiculous. I can't stress enough, we need more science and technology in education. Let's say Japan, for example, it goes without saying that that is stressed a lot more than it is here in the States. Again, every school district is a little bit different. But again, biased opinion or not, with my science education, it doesn't matter. I think it's common sense. We need to teach people about technology expose people to computers at all ages. Understand that learning about technology, you never stop learning because things change pretty much every day. A little chemistry, biology, and physics, and math also should be in the mix. Adam at WWGH1071.com. That is my email address. I welcome your emails. I'm pretty easy to reach. And, of course, you can also give me a call right here in the studio. I am live on the air at the Marion Center Mall in historic Marion, Ohio. 740-383-9944. Coming up to approximately 9 minutes before 10 in the a.m. on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. A bit gloomy outside, but also about 10 degrees warmer than normal. So no complaints whatsoever. Coming up after me, we have the 10 o'clock news and features. Teasers of shows past, present, and future. Messages from our valued sponsors and underwriters. News with Scott. And at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 4 a.m. during the top of the hour feature block. We are the only station in Marion airing a complete obituary report. And if you don't already know, the person who does the obituaries is myself. You can also listen to our station live on your mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app. Just search for WWGH, make us a favorite, bookmark us, and when you want to listen, just click on the little triangle thingy, as I call it, and voila, we will be on your phone, smartphone, tablet, what have you. Good stuff. Again, we are the leading station in Marion. As far as I'm concerned, no other station comes close. We have live content, local content, and always a surprise or two. And a pretty good website, if I should say so myself, WWGH1071.com. And one thing that our station is known for, celebrity interviews. No, I'm a nobody. I'm not a celebrity. But Scott Spears, one of my fellow managers here at the station, our program manager, he is someone who calls people that you would be surprised would talk to a radio show host, even in a large city like Chicago or New York, because as far as I'm concerned, our content is better than content at many stations, regardless of how big their city is. Earlier this week, Bob Barker came on down to our phone lines and talked to Scott about his career, about his work with animals, about his deceased wife, Dorothy Jo, about being on The Price is Right. All kinds of interesting conversation. Of course, you can go to our website and listen to the interview. Bill Macy was on earlier in the month. He was on Seinfeld a few times, multiple other shows, and he's best known as being Walter Findlay, playing opposite the late B. Arthur as a star of the TV show Maud. Besides being a great character actor, he still sounds great. And he's an interesting dude. In fact, he even invited Scott to his house in California to socialize. Some of the great interviews that we have here at the Talking Place. And again, go to our website to listen to these interviews if you'd like to hear them, because they are cool with a capital C. Harry, my frequent guest on the show, who runs our Twitter feed, and again, he calls in regularly, wants to talk a little bit about our favorite members of the animal kingdom. Harambe's grandmother passed away yesterday. We discussed about Kolo passing away, about 60 years old, a few days ago. So we do keep track of those things here on the Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Kolo, of course, being an icon at the Columbus Zoo. I was not aware about Harambe's grandmother passing away, and I do thank Harry for that information. Again, if you'd like to update us on news that is of interest, you can always tweet us at WWGH Radio. Who's going to be Scott Spears' celebrity guest today? I'm kind of leading up to that because I know that the suspense is putting you at the edge of your seat. Well, it is an Ohio native, Mr. Hugh Downs, 95 years old, and he still sounds great. Of course, he was the host of 2020. He had a long, very distinguished career as a newsman. He'll be on with Scott later in the afternoon, and of course, he'll be discussing politics, the Donald, and everything else that's occurring in the political spectrum as we count down the time to the change of residence at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, winding down my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. I am live on Facebook video, and if you sense a giggle or two coming out of my mouth, well, Harry is providing me with some comments that are a bit on the humorous side on my video, so please do watch it, and you can hear his you can look at his comments, because he is not a man to shy away from an opinion or wisecrack or two. Okay, give me a call. Still time to call, 740-383-9944. I'm live here on Facebook video, both via my Facebook page, Adam the Computer Guy. Add me if you're not already a friend. And, of course, our radio station, Facebook fan page. Search for WWGH 107.1 in Marion. Charlie Evers, he is a radio legend here in Mid-Ohio. He will be taking the airwaves shortly after 10 a.m., after these 10 a.m. features. Now, this is a man with a plethora of information and, of course, commentary on anything and everything that is happening here in the great Buckeye State, in Marion County and environs. He gives away prizes. They might be zoo or cosi tickets. They could be restaurant coupons for local area eateries and who knows what else. He loves to talk about everything from the weather to local geography to how to make our community great. It's already great, just to make it greater, etc. Give him a call, 740-383-9944. He would love to speak with you. And again, coming up at noon, after the noon features, it's Scott Spears with the show called Now. And today's guests will include Hugh Downs. Certainly, with all the knowledge and opinions that Mr. Hugh Downs has, I think it'll be an interesting show. So don't miss it. I'll be back with you on Tuesday, which, of course, will be the time when the President of the United States will be a different person than it is now. So I'm sure politics will be part of the discussion, because politics and technology have a major influence on each other. I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday right after the 9 a.m. features here on Marion's Talking Place. If you'd like to see our program schedule, I would encourage you to do that. Go to our website, WWGH1071.com, for all the 411. Among the shows that we offer every week, Linda Sims, Voice of a People, 11:10 a.m. until noon on Monday. Monday after Scott's show, and Scott's on Monday through Thursday from noon to 2, is Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett. Our telephone is ringing. Still time to call. Good morning. You're on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. Hello? Okay, caller, we'll call back. Still got a few seconds left. We appreciate the person who did call. Also want to tell you about the Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show. Of course, it's on right after me, but it's on every Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. until noon, and Friday from 1:10 p.m. until 3 p.m. You can go to our website, WWGH1071.com, for the details. Those are some of the shows that we have live every week at the station. There are more, and I invite you to go to our website to get the information. My show is ending in about 5 seconds. Thank you very much for listening. Much appreciated. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Adam the Computer Guy.
You're listening to W.